Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Back to the Todd Albaugh Show, hour number two, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Ready Network, streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. It is Todd Albaugh Show, along with Mr. Aaron Zombers on the board, and here live and in person on this February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2024, our very own Kira Sabin. Kira, great to have you here back on the show and live and in person.
I showered. I did my hair. It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Great, it's official.
Great to have you all along on hour number two. Kira's going to be here all hour. And for those who might not have listened in the past, Kira joins us. We're getting back on track on a regular thing here. But about every other week is what we were doing. And we hope to get back to that. And you've been traveling and you've been a busy person. And it's great to have you back here. And what Kira does is helps us explain our lives to each other and to ourselves and make us feel better. Kira, you are a life coach. You are a relationship counselor. You're a podcaster. Tell for folks that don't know, let's start out by tell us a little bit about yourself.
Excellent. Well, I first of all had the honor of growing up right with Todd Albaugh in Richland Center, Wisconsin. So we've known each other for years. But what I do is for the last 15 years, I have particularly helped singles on the foundational skills and mindsets for love. Because what I realized in my adulthood and doing my business is that we don't really learn how to date. We don't really learn how to pick a good partner. We don't really learn qualities that we need for successful relationships. And because of that, we're out there like the blind leading the blind, and it's not going so well. I don't know if you're aware, because you're single. It's rough out there. It's so rough. So my days are spent talking to singles through my podcast, through my clients, on how to do this better, how to get more intentional, how to really know what you need to feel good on a daily basis, and then how to find that in another person.
And I think it's important too, because there's a lot of people out there, I'll call it this genre, who just wake up one day and say, oh, I think I'll start a podcast and start talking about love. You've actually gone through training. You're a professional.
Absolutely.
Tell people a little bit about your background as far as your training to give us some of this advice out and how long you've been practicing.
Yeah. So I am a certified life coach. That is a real thing. It was on a weekend. It was a 2-year program. I also did a 1-year program in positive psychology and am a positive psychology practitioner because I really loved the idea of not only surviving, but thriving. Mm-hmm. We're never really taught to thrive, right? We're all just trying to make it through. And I loved the idea behind this idea of psychology of how do we actually get happier? How do we add more joy to our life? And most of the things we're taught are not what bring joy to our life and that don't bring love.
You've been instrumental in my life professionally and also personally. You know, people say, Todd, you just have Kira on to feel better about yourself. That's not entirely untrue.
That's your sister, who I'm a good friend with still.
It's fantastic.
I definitely choose topics that I think are Todd-friendly. I definitely do. That if you happen to pick up a few things along the way, Aaron too, then, you know, my job is done.
That's fantastic. Well, people are already calling in. If you have a dating question or dating advice, want some dating advice, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Kira will get to the phone lines in just a moment. But first of all, just today is Valentine's Day, of course. For some people, I'm pretty comfortable with where I'm at right now. It's like I don't need someone to feel good on Valentine's Day necessarily. But for some people, it can be a really difficult day if you're alone. And give us just kind of the 30,000-foot level on Valentine's and why this is difficult for some and exciting for others.
You know, I'll tell you, I'm not actually a huge fan of Valentine's Day for a couple of reasons.
I know you're not.
Right? For a couple of reasons. Number one, I think love is something beautiful that we should be celebrating every day. I also think it's really been pushed on romantic love. But why aren't we celebrating all kinds of love? Why are we not celebrating friendships? Why are we not celebrating coworkers that make us happy in a day-to-day and we have to spend 8 hours a day with? Mm-hmm. Why are we not celebrating our animals? Why are we not celebrating people in our life who are showing up and loving us? That's what this day should be about. And instead, about a half of the population just ends up feeling stinky.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not, to me, that's not a holiday if half of us don't feel good. But I just want to remind everybody that most of us, if not all of us, have love in our lives. Celebrate that, even if you don't have your person right now.
Yeah. Absolutely. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We have Kira Sabin with us, a life coach, relationship coach. Let's go to Matt in Middleton. Matt, thanks for calling in. A question or comment for Ms. Kira? Are you there, Matt?
Hello, is it
yep.
me?
You're on the air, Matt.
Oh, hi.
Go ahead.
All right, great. So I am 47 years old. I just had another relationship fail about 2 days ago. I've had over 37 some relationships in my life, and I have three major questions for you. One is, we all know dating in the 40s is rough, but when women have so much on their plate with kids, career, and I've always failed in this one thing in relationships, is how do I pick up on the signals they send that they need help or won't ask for it? They want me to be more attentive and won't ask for it. Like those little signals that they send that I don't pick up. Like, how does someone, like a man, kind of read those? And then my other big question is, do you think it's too late for me at this age to change those things that will make a partner or make me a better partner and make it past that comfort period of the first, like, 6 months to a year? Thank you very much.
Hey, Matt, I really appreciate being vulnerable, as Kira said, calling in. First of all, I'm really sorry that you broke up so close to Valentine's. That sucks. But good on you for having the courage to call in today and ask these really great questions. And I know, Kira, you have some great answers.
Well, let's hope so. I mean, the first thing I want to say, Matt, and to anybody out there, and just a little shout out to my mom, who just started dating and has found a relationship at 81 years old, and is maybe in the best relationship of her life at 80 years old. I don't think at any time we are too late to create new partnerships, create love, great relationships. And I want to give, you know, just a shout out that Todd did. Like, those are great and vulnerable questions. And also, Matt, those were real questions. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we're like, well, why doesn't anybody like me?
Right?
Or what's wrong with women right now? Or what's wrong with men? And those are great questions. So how do you pick up signals? I mean, the biggest thing I would do is work on your questions, you know, letting people know right away that you're here to get to know them, that you're here to understand who they are and how to help them feel safe. One of the things we don't discuss enough is that it is unsafe for single women dating. It really is. There is a percentage of people who get raped on first dates. I know that this is not a fun or easy Valentine's Day conversation, but we have to be talking about that. And it's even scarier now that we have online dating because these apps are not actually scanning for sex offenders. So when you meet somebody the first couple of times, get into the mindset, and I think that we all can do this, no matter your gender, of how to make that person feel safe, how to make that person feel seen, how to make that person feel heard. And we can do that by asking better questions. I love on the first couple of dates to ask really intentional questions that help us get to know people's values, which are really, really important, versus what we have in common. And also just questions of, you know, who are you? What are you looking for? Making sure everybody's on the same page. And then also just, how do you like to be loved? How do you like to be taken care of? What do you need on a day-to-day basis to feel good? So we can have these conversations early on and see if we're good matches. I think that a lot of, Matt, where you might be frustrated, which is where a lot of people are frustrated, is that we don't know what we're looking for. We don't know what we actually need. We've never been taught any of this stuff. So we just keep trying and trying and trying, but without some intention, without some like real understanding of how dating and relationships work and how to get healthy ones, we need to step back and ask ourselves a question. So the first thing I want you to do, Matt, is I want you to step back and go, what's your role? What's not working? What do you feel not working? Are you feeling like you're not picking people who are a good match for you? Do you feel like the feedback you're getting is that you're not hearing them or showing up for them? You know, what's your role? What can you do better? Is there somebody, a professional, I'm not even saying me, I'm saying like therapists, that can help you just step back and go, how can I do this more intentionally, with more confidence, and then more importantly, making sure that who I'm dating feels heard and seen so they want to move forward with us. A lot of us get stuck in this about a 3-month, 4-month mark where that's when people start really showing who they are. And we don't make it past that because all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, well, this is who I really am. Not just the first couple months of me being at my best behavior. This is who I really am. And so that's a normal breaking up mark, but or breaking up time. But I also just want us to look at, do you know what a healthy relationship looks like? Do you know where you actually kind of want to be with that person? And if they have kids, if they have, you know, exes, like, understand that that conversation for you to date them also is going to be, you know, if I become a bigger part of your life, what does that look like?
Right.
We How does that feel good?
About 2 minutes before in this segment here, Kira, picking up on what Matt said, I mean, one of the main or specific was, how do I pick up these signals? And I think that regardless of our gender or sexuality, who we're trying to date, sometimes you'll hear back, you know, well, you should have picked up on that. Well, you should have understood that. And I know you've talked about in this show before a couple of things. A, not all communication is verbal. Sometimes you have to pick up on facial or body posture. But also, don't always, if for us, for Matt or whomever, don't take it personal because it might be the other person who's dealing with things. And they're kind of projecting onto you, and they have their own stuff to work on first. So it might not be all Matt's fault.
Oh, I don't think it's anybody's. You don't think it's usually one person's fault, yeah. Right? I think that when we see a pattern arising, though, it really benefits us to step back and go, what am I looking for? Right. Am I finding it? If not, how do I do this better? We're scared sometimes of those questions. Right. Some of the things that you and I've talked about before are like attachment styles. Mm-hmm. Sometimes avoidant, which 80% of the men, male population tend to be avoidant. They have kind of fairy tale ideas about what relationships should be and then are bummed or devastated when real people show up. So we also have to look at what are our viewpoints going in? Do we expect these people to be normal people with lives? And we're in our 40s. We got a lot of stuff going on.
And Matt, remember that quote with a quote, it's never too late to be who you might have been, right?
I mean, absolutely.
I mean, it's never too late.
We change every single day. Yeah, we absolutely. Create who we are.
Great first call, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Life relationship quote, Coach Kira Sabin. I'll say it yet. More calls on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tyler Bowles Show for a Valentine's Day on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The book of love is long and boring. No one can lift the damn thing. It's full of charts and facts and figures and instructions for dancing.
Welcome back to the Tyler Bowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2024. Mr. Zommer is on the board doing a great job. And our guru of love, in all seriousness, a relationship and life coach and a positivity psychologist, Ms. Kira Sabin, is here. Kira, you changed your website recently. Give us the new name for it so people can find you.
Yeah, Reinventing Dating.
ReinventingDating.com?
Yep.
ReinventingDating.com. I'm going to encourage you to go to it. Kira has all kinds of cool retreats. She can work with you, whether it's online or however. And I know you've helped so many people. And I just love the thing about Kira is I've known her almost all of her life. You're real. And like, that's why I love that you're so direct. Like, there's no sugarcoating, but you're not mean about it. And I think that's what's helped me is like when you're just like, okay, look. You know, and just be real. And I think to the last caller's question, you're absolutely right. The more that we can look internally and be like, okay, what am I really looking for here? Is it a hookup or is it love? Because there is a difference, right?
And if it's love, which is great, are you dating to get it?
Right.
Do you know what a good match looks like? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say about Matt and how do we pick up signals? I'm going to take that on the next level and say, this isn't about signals. This is about conversations we should be having, right? I don't want people to be like, ooh, you know, am I supposed to be watching her flip her hair? I want you to, if you have intention, to say it. I want us to ask better questions. And I want, more importantly, for us to not take it so personally, because we get so nervous when it comes to love, and so nervous when it comes to potentially that person being a part of our life, that we end up looking for all these like little things that we would not be looking for usually. Like, we get picky instead of having standards. We, you know, so really just kind of going, you know, it's not about signals. It's about questions. It's about, you know, hi, checking in. How, is this going well for you? Do you like it? How can I be better for you?
Right. Now, you talked to this about this before, but the fact that we can sit, you can sit next to your partner, your significant other, and both be in this kind of ornery mood, but nobody says anything to each other. And it's like, well, I'm mad at them. Well, I don't know why they're mad at them. Just like pause, reflect a minute, right? And just, as our old teacher Andy Spies used to say, and say, and just look at each other and be like, hey, I can tell you're not happy. What's going on? Talk to me. And then be quiet and receive that information. Don't interrupt. Receive that information.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm gonna boast here for a second, because we work really hard at it, but like Danny and I don't even get to that place. As soon as something's coming up, one of us is bringing it up. Even if it's, hey, I'm in a really rough place today, I'll tell you about it in a couple hours when I've calmed myself down or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we're constantly communicating, so nobody has to guess.
Right.
Right? And we, for some reason, have taught people to assume and guess in relationships rather than just to ask questions, right? How many things come tumbling down because of assumptions, because of a text that's been misread, because of a conversation that should have been had sooner?
Yes.
Right? We are so scared of that other person possibly giving or taking away love that we put ourselves in tenuous situations that, I mean, I'm kind of logical about love, right? Mm-hmm. I believe in the science of love. Love is about connection. Love is something that is an emotion that we have to have a healthy relationship to keep feeling. Yep. I don't think we fall in love and then it lasts forever. In fact, there's science to prove that that's not true. I believe we create relationships where love can be felt every day. And for that to happen, you have to have strong communication skills. You have to be able to solve your problems together, right? We never talk about how to solve conflict. But if you don't know how to like talk to your partner on how to solve something, you will just keep coming back to those problems again and again.
844-967-2789. If you have a question on relationships, on dating, on Valentine's Day, on love, 844-967-2789. Also can text us on the Civic Media app. We see some coming in there on the text line. We'll get to those in just a minute, but continue to text those in for Kira. Let's go up to Green Bay right now. Steven in Green Bay, thanks for listening and calling in. What do you have for Kira today?
So, Kira.
Hi, Steven.
I started dating 100% online, and actually almost all my relationships were found off of dating apps. And I've been happily married for 2 years now. I did find someone on a dating app that I ended up falling in love with and marrying. But the problem that I found while I was dating is that dating online, there were so many things. For example, when my first date with my wife, I'll never forget it, we were sitting down, and she said, just so you know, I'm not sleeping with you. And I was like, did I unintentionally give her the hint that that's what I was looking for? Because it wasn't. But she had so many guys that that's what they wanted, to the point where she was just like, disclaimer, before we get any further and I put any more time into this, that's not what I'm looking for. And then going on and getting married and being in a relationship, I was, you know, raised in a family where affection wasn't really shown. And then I married to someone who, you know, the part of my job as her husband is to obviously show her affection. And I struggled with that because I wasn't taught it as a child. And so much of that we, you know, get taught as children. And if you're not, you're really going to struggle when you get in a relationship and that's expected of you. So I was just wondering if you could speak on those things. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Steven. Yeah. Thank you so very much. Another great question, Kira.
I'm kind of looking at it and going, okay, wow. Just because those are a lot of just really vulnerable things. So first of all, to Steven, I want to Also just, I, you know, acknowledge like the vulnerability and the realness of that call. So one thing that I think you pointed out that I think is really, really important is that, and I will mention, like, I'm glad you had success, Stephen, with online dating. Most of us don't. And I'm actually not a big fan of online dating. The success rate is only at 10% at this point.
Wow. 10%.
10%. All right. Yeah, and it's less.
And that success is not including hookups. That's actual real long-term relationships.
That's long-term relationships, right? Or marriage, right? So I don't mean to like say that that's everybody's success, right? But that's what they're looking at when they are. That's from the Pew Research Center.
So Stephen would be in that 10%.
So he would be in that 10%. Right. So that's amazing. But if you talk to any woman, and also men, but any woman who is online dating, they are getting unsolicited pics. Yeah. Of things that they're not wanting. They're getting, you know, really instantly like sexual questions, or, you know, people pushing to you know, send your pics. And I mean, it can be a really gross and not a great place to be, let alone if you think about it, dating is about love. Dating is about creating a relationship with somebody. This like breeding ground of awfulness that is online dating is kind of is making us wonder if love is even out there. So I'm first of all glad that you guys were able to find each other in that.
About a minute, we'll come back on the other side and finish it up, but we'll start here with the first minute.
But I want every guy to be listening. If a woman says to you, you know, disclaimer, I'm not sleeping with you right away, she's not saying that because of anything that you've done. She's doing that because she has been inundated usually with multiple texts, calls, dates where people don't have the best intention, or they're just looking for the hookup culture. So the less that we can take that kind of those kind of boundaries or sometimes even walls, not personally, the better. And I can talk about his next stuff coming up.
More on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Give us your calls as well. Relationship dating advice for Valentine's with Kira Sabin. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Back on the other side. It's the Almost Joe for Valentine's Day in Civic Media. Tattleball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's Valentine's Day, Wednesday, February 14th, 2024, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along with us, and thank you all for these fantastic calls and fantastic texts. Keep them coming. We are joined this hour, and maybe into our third hour, we'll see how it goes, by Kira Sabin. Longtime friend of mine, but more importantly, she is has her own website, own service called ReinventingDating.com. ReinventingDating.com, dating that works. She is a positivity psychologist, a life coach, a relationship coach, and has helped all kinds of folks for how many years have you been doing this, Kira?
15.
15 years.
15.
And a proven track record of bringing, I mean, helping people find love.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm proud.
Should be proud.
This is having your own business is not for the lighthearted, and
no.
I am really proud of what I've accomplished, and more importantly, helped other people accomplish.
Absolutely. Kira Sabin, our guest. If you have a question, a relationship question, a love question, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or text it on this Civic Media app. We know that some people don't like to come on the air. No worries. Just download the Civic Media app and text us your question. Going to go to Sherry from Horicon in just a moment, but before we do, Kira, a couple of thoughts you wanted to wrap up on the last caller.
Yes, absolutely. Stephen, you mentioned something about not being raised, shown affection. Mm-hmm. And that can be really hard when we enter relationships where things like physical and emotional affection are expected. And here is what I will say. There are things that are ideals in relationship, and there are things that are foundations. And physical affection is a foundation. That means it's something that even if you don't know how to do, having those conversations, first of all, with your wife, and then maybe with a professional to, you know, is it just start with a hug at the end of the day? Does it just start with like holding hands? Does it just start with how do you start feeling more comfortable, not only giving, but receiving love? And I see a lot of men wanting to be loved, deep love in relationships. And we haven't been raised showing men how to receive that love. So I am going to challenge you that although I know how hard it can be to have to change something that we've been taught, we're basically unlearning something, affection and your relationship on the other side of what good affection looks like, it's going to be only better. It's going to be stronger. And I want you to look at why that maybe feels different or scary for you. And think about that. Like, what would feel good? What would feel easy to receive? What would feel like a starting point and going from there? Because, you know, my husband, the first time that I messed up in the relationship, I apologized. And he said to me, that doesn't mean anything to me because my family didn't apologize to each other.
Wow.
And I said to him, we have to have a relationship where we can apologize, where we can mess up and say, I'm sorry, or this relationship is never going to go anywhere. And it took a while for us to get used to that. But now it's part of our relationship. It's a value in our relationship to be able to solve conflict easily and quickly and apologize when we're wrong.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because we were not raised doesn't mean that was the right way, you know, Stephen, for myself, too. And I know that love needs affection. So I hope that's something that you can learn to, you know, receive from your wife, because it's a beautiful thing.
Growth can happen for all of us.
All of us.
Again,
at
never
any
too
age.
Late. Never too late.
It's never too late.
844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Questions for Kira Sabin from reinventingdating.com. Dating that works. And it certainly does. Let's go to the phone lines. Beautiful Horicon. Sherry listening in Horicon. Thanks for holding, Sherry. What's your question for Kira?
Valentine's Day. I don't have a question. I have a little story.
Sure.
I met my husband on a blind date, and about 37 years ago.
Wow.
Okay, and so all was well, and we had two kids, and lasted our marriage for 23 years. And got to the point where we just couldn't get along anymore, and it was better to be apart. And so that was a very traumatic thing. And so anyway, we got divorced, and after about a year, we decided, you know, with the kids and everything, we got to get along. And so we started to, you know, he'd come to family stuff and everything, and now we are best friends. He's my Valentine. I love him very much. I see him all the time. We just can't be married, but we have a, you know, I'll take care of him until he dies. Neither one of us date. We only have each other. And it's a wonderful thing. So sometimes divorce works out for the best.
Well,
you know?
Sherry,
go
ahead.
You know, my mom's always like, why don't you guys just get married again? Mm. But, you know, he has, you know, we kind of like having our own space.
That's fantastic. So Jerry, I can't thank you again enough for being vulnerable and sharing that story. And talk about growth, right? I mean, talk about growing beyond where someone is, Kira.
I think Sherry's brought up some really important things. That number one, relationships and love can look 1,000 different ways. Right. They decided to not be married anymore. But that doesn't mean that they can't care about each other. That doesn't mean they can't love each other. That doesn't mean they can't have a relationship. It can just maybe look different than it did 20 years ago. I also think that when we take that pressure off of each other to be the one and only for each other, we start to just relax a little bit about it and lower our expectations and realize that love is a choice. And somebody choosing to be with us every single day is a beautiful thing. And that, you know, it's not just celebrated one day a year or on birthdays or things like that, but that somebody, you know, when Danny and I got married, which you were there, you know, we changed the wedding favors. They said, and they lived happily ever after. And I changed it because of who I am to say, and they chose each other every day. Because that's what we're doing here. We're choosing people. We don't have to be in relationships anymore. That's not true of 50 years ago or 100 years ago, especially for women. We don't have to be in a relationship. So when we do find somebody that we want to have a partnership with, when we do find somebody that we want to love every day, just really being thankful.
Yeah.
because we all have our weird quirks. We're all, you know, a little weird, right?
And also, to Sherry's point, a guy that you, I think, remember, Ted Wheelock, from Richland Center, where we grew up. We were in a community band one time. And Mr. Wheelock was a fantastic guy. He was an educator. He was a cross-country coach. He played tuba. He was a great kayaker, a great outdoors person.
Really
and,
was.
And he and his wife were married like 50 years and until one of them passed away first. And I asked Mr. Wheelock, you know, late in his marriage, I said, Mr. Wheelock, what makes us such a successful, long-term, happy marriage? And without missing a beat, he said, well, let me tell you. He said, I'll tell you what it is. He says, the key is don't spend too much time together. I said, wait. No, he goes, I'm serious. He goes, now look, he goes, my wife likes to quilt and all this kind of stuff. Goes, I don't care about that. So he says, she goes and does that. And she goes, I love to kayak and bike, and she doesn't want to do that. So I go out and do that. And then we travel together. But he said, you can't be with each other all the time. You drive each other nuts. I think there's something to that.
I 100% think there's something to that. But this is what I'll also say. I think it takes a village for all of us. Mm-hmm. We weirdly, and I have told people that when you get in a relationship or when you get married, like, that's your person. Mm-hmm. No, we all need friends. We all need community. We all need connections. Danny can't be my everything, and nor do I want him to try, because he's got a life to live and and a job to do and everything else. And we have a lot of weird expectations of our partner. But at the end of the day, have the same values, look at the world the same way. I think that that's what Ted's saying. Like, we don't have everything in common, but they come back together and they do things that they love to do. Once again, that's relationship values.
844-967-2789. If you'd like to call in and ask Kira a question or share a comment or story about love on this Valentine's Day. She is a relationship specialist, a life coach, a positivity psychologist, and she has a great site called ReinventingDating.com. ReinventingDating.com, dating that works. 844-967-2789. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. And let's go back up, Mr. Zomers, and take some of those texters in order, please. There we go. We have someone listening in on WLCX up in La Crosse, the Eagle in western Wisconsin. This listener asks Kira, quote, how to break the ice with someone when you fear it always comes across as though I'm just a heel or a player? Explain.
So first of all, I just want to say good for you for looking at how you're coming across, right? Like, good for you for wondering and noticing possibly and just being aware of, like I said, like the kind of inundation of sexual comments and things that people, that a lot of single women get. So I think one of the things you can do is just let somebody know you're interested in a kind way and plan a date. Like, plan it. Like, go, hey, I would love to take you out sometime. I've got a great afternoon planned if you're ever up for it. You know, maybe just coffee and this. But actually go to your way. Plan a date. And I think that women can do this too. I don't think it's a gender-specific role. Mm-hmm. And it just, that intention says to somebody, oh, okay, this might be a person who's actually wanting to get to know me. And then on that date, man, I wish I didn't hear this as much as I did. But I think we all get very nervous on dates. And I know that a lot of times that I hear from my female clients is that they go on a date and that person may not ask them a question the whole entire time.
Really?
The whole entire time. I hear this weekly.
Do you really?
Weekly.
Then what do they do?
Right. Yeah. Good point, Mr. Zomers. What? Yeah.
They just never see that person again. And then I think that, and it tends to be guys, but I think that what happens is that these guys are like, well, what happened? I don't know. But I think they get so nervous. They talk the whole time. They want to impress the other person, right? They want to impress. And then what, they stop asking questions. They stop going, and what about you?
Right.
And so I think that that's a great thing that, you know, not only you plan a date, but you have a couple questions you want to ask them, like thoughtful questions. I love to ask the question, if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go and why? That tells not only something about, you know, how much of an adventurer they are, or if they like to be, if they're curious or if they like to explore, but it also shows values, right? Do they want to go to Italy and drink the wine and eat the cheese and the pasta? Or do they want to go to Egypt and look at the pyramids because they're really into history? It starts telling you what they value, what they prioritize. So, you know, making sure that not only are we asking somebody out or planning a date, but that you're that date is one half you and one half them. Right. And I think, I don't blame people, but I think that there's a lot of people out there who talk a lot on dates because they get nervous and are not aware of how they're coming off.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I mean, I can't imagine being on a date and not asking the other person one question.
I mean,
holy cow.
All the time.
Tone deaf.
But maybe, not defense, but
trying to be understanding. I guess if some people are super uncomfortable and they feel really insecure, it's like, oh, I have to really try to impress this other person. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen to the date.
Right. And what we have to understand is there's two things happening there. I ask people regularly, are you connecting on dates or are you trying to win them over? And those are two very different things.
And yes or no, having someone ask you about yourself is super sexy.
Oh,
right.
Of course.
Right. Because it's like, wait, they want to know about me?
I don't.
And then if you, the person that asked the question, if you actually look and actually, you know, try to understand, let me just, cause I'm a big eye person, right?
We're looking at each other right now.
Eyes are like a big thing for me.
Well, that's how we connect with people. That's one of the ways on body language that we connect with people. Right. But, you know, make sure that you're not trying to win somebody over. You're instead trying to connect with them. That's a really, I think that if we all started doing that a little bit more, we could change our dating culture.
All right. That texter, by the way, says, what did they say in response? The texter says, she makes it sound so easy. Thanks, Kira. I know, doesn't she? She does make it sound easy.
Can I just throw a couple of fun ideas?
We got 30 seconds before you go ahead. That's fine. We'll come back, but yeah.
No, I was just going to say, you know, in four first dates, I like to keep them short and sweet, but I think you can go to, I'm really into action dates. I'm really into going bowling, go play pools or darts, do things with the other person.
Right.
Because then you're not just sitting there looking at each other, telling each other about yourself. You're actually watching them. You're doing something with them. And that is an instant intimacy and vulnerability and a connector. If you go to a cooking class, you have to learn together, and that's going to build something versus, well, I do this for a living, and I have one sibling, and da-da-da-da.
Kira Sabin's with us. More on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wise men
say... Boy, we're really bringing it with the songs.
Only fools rush in.
My mom loves Elvis.
Really?
But I can't help falling in love with you.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. That one goes out to the incomparable Jan Sabin, listening in Richland Center. Kira's mom, who I met your mom's boyfriend, and he's fantastic.
He is.
I spent part of New Year's Eve with him.
You sure did.
Back in Richland Center. And I think the point you said earlier in the show, your mom is proof that you can be a cool, confident, intelligent, wonderful person, let alone a woman, because I think it's more intimidating sometimes for women. And you can be all those things and still... You know, no matter what age you are, be confident enough to find a partner who loves and respects you and be happy.
Let me tell you this. I'm sure she's going to love that I'm talking about her on the air right now. But my mom decided at 80 years old, at her 80th birthday, that she wanted to start dating. And she literally just said to everybody she knows, I want to start dating. Within a week, she was set up with someone. That's Norman. That's who she's been dating ever since.
I love it.
Right? Like, I think if we all went out with that kind of confidence up... By the way, I'm looking to date. If anybody knows somebody, please set me up.
Right.
And then, boom, she is.
And Kira's mom was one of the coolest people I've known her since I was a kid. And occasionally on this show, I'll use the term LC, low class. That's a Jan Sabin saying
right there. Right there.
We are not LC. We're not low class. We're high class. Kira Sabin is here. She is from reinventingdating.com, Dating That Works. She is a positivity psychologist and a life coach. She joins us here to answer your questions. Give us a call about any love or relationship questions you have. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789.
And we also talked a little bit just a moment ago about ideas for dates and doing activities together.
Yes.
And we got a couple comments on that on YouTube. Rico says, Kira is so right. What the world needs is more roller rinks, movie theaters, and dance halls.
Yes.
I don't disagree at all. Like,
we grew up the Richland Roller Rink. That was a great place to interact
every Friday night.
Right? Totally agree, Rico.
And Andrew in Maine says something that I definitely agree with. He says, movies always seem like an odd date to me. Oh. Sit silently next to a person for a couple hours, then maybe talk about the thing you both watched. And in my opinion, dinner and a movie is the worst first date you can possibly do because you're sitting across from each other with food in your mouth and you're trying to get to know each other. All you're getting to know is whether or not they chew with their mouth open. And then you go and sit in silence for an hour and a half, 2 hours and watch it. Like, it's stupid. I feel very strongly about that.
And do you hold hands during the movie? Just sit there next to each other? I agree.
You don't have time to talk about that and figure it out.
Right.
Absolutely. I could not. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we date horribly. The way that we date doesn't make sense at all. I mean, we're trying to get to know this person. We're trying to get to know them, you know, quickly, make assessments whether this is somebody you want to spend more time with. And then we do things like just talk about ourselves for an hour, right? Like, it's, or go to a movie, right, where we don't talk about anything, or do something where you have no way of connecting, and then we're wondering, like, well, I guess I didn't feel anything, next. And that's not the way dating should be.
When my mom was single after my parents got divorced, I'm not going to say who it was, but my mom had started dating again, and she went out with a guy, and he took her to a movie, and I'm not making this up. They were sitting next to each other in the movie, and he literally stretched his arms. He goes, ugh! He put his arms over his head, and then put his arm over my mom's shoulder.
He did the stretch move.
Right, exactly.
He did the move. And my mom's right now saying, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. But it's true. I mean, that's how hokey sometimes dating could be, right?
I mean, it's 2024. Can't we do this a little bit better?
Well, that was 30 years ago.
Right? Exactly. But yeah. I mean, like, can't we, like, go, you know, what's the smartest way for me to spend time with somebody to really get to know them and for them to get to know me? And to me, that's doing things. You're going to find out a lot. I'll tell you. By your fourth or fifth date, do an escape room. You'll find out very quick, is that person a team player? Is that person know how to communicate with you and talk through things and solve problems together?
That's
you know, a jerk and try to take over and push you out of the process and really competitive? Like, these are things, like, I think the more that we can do things with people, I'd rather people do laundry and grocery shopping than go over and talk about themselves for an hour.
That is so interesting. I was going out with a guy one time who loved doing laundry. Like, he loved folding things and, like, had an impeccable closet.
Well,
I'm serious.
Come over to my place because...
He's with someone else now. Well,
unfortunately.
But such is life.
I know.
Kira's going to stick around in hour number three, answer more of your dating questions, and we'll get into some news and have Kira's take on some of the news of the day as well. Working through it again, you can call us 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Also, text us on the Civic Media app. Here's one, Kira says, quote, I've been in a very happy 25-year relationship. I used numerology and handwriting analysis in my and any interested couples, and find that the more I like you, the more we write alike. There are harmonious and natural matches in numbers too. Wouldn't it be fun to create a database based on these things? Unquote. I find that stuff like interesting to me. I know that isn't for everyone, and it's kind of different from what we're talking about here. But I certainly know people who've used, I'll call them alternative ways to find a couple. I don't know what the statistics are on that. But I guess I would just simply say, hey, to each their own. If it worked for that person, I mean, God bless them. I'm glad they're happy. I'm not quite sure that is a way to find someone for everyone.
I mean, there's a lot of things. Some people use birth charts. Some people use, I've heard of handwriting analysis before. I'm a little bit more back to the science and psychology of, you know, what are your goals? Are you on the same page? Yeah, do you have similar values? Like, do you want the same things?
Right.
It's amazing how long we can date somebody and not even want the same things as them and not know it. Sorry, Aaron.
Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you there, but... In my opinion, I think however you find them is however you find them, as long as you don't use those other methods as a substitute for communication.
Yeah.
As long as you don't say, well, our chart says we're compatible.
Right. Astrology.
I think there's a thing to be said about, like, hacks. And I'm not and what I mean by that is, I think that sometimes we are looking for the perfect place to meet people or the perfect this or that. And when it comes down to it, adult relationships are hard and complicated. If you're the over the age of 30, you're going to meet people who maybe have kids, who have exes, who have aging parents, maybe illness. Like, we need to be understanding and open to all sorts of relationships and communication and connection. But ultimately, it still, to me, comes down to getting to know that person, learning how to work with that person. And I don't know any hack out there to do that besides spending time with them and asking questions and watching them struggle and help having them watch you struggle and learning from each other.
We're going to come back in hour number three, a special edition of the Todd Allball Show here. And we're going to talk more to Kira Sabin, our life coach and positivity psychologist. If you have a significant other, what are some things you can do today to make them feel more loved? Simple, complex, whatever. Your calls as well as the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.